It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The opioid crisis is leaving thousands of kids abandoned and traumatized.
There's a whole bunch of older children who just want a loving family. A lot of teens, preteens, they just want a forever family.
This morning, we'll learn more about the foster care crisis that's ballooning in the wake of the opioid crisis. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Over the weekend, a horrific fire in Clay County claimed the lives of four foster children. It put the spotlight on a child welfare system in crisis. West Virginia lawmakers have been working throughout interim sessions on addressing the significant needs of the state's foster care system. Now they bring that work into the regular state legislative session. Glennis Board brings us a closer look at the crisis from the front lines.
Amanda McCreary is a social service coordinator at the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources in Wheeling. She's among the state employees on the front lines of the foster care crisis in the Northern Panhandle.
There's a whole bunch of older children who just want a loving family. A lot of teens, preteens, they just want a forever family. And it's heartbreaking to listen to them call their social worker and their social worker answer the phone and say, no, I haven't found you that family yet, but I'm still looking. They want to know. They want somebody to want them.
According to the DHHR, West Virginia is the number one state in the country for children removed from their homes. 85% of those child protective services cases involved drugs. As of September 2018, almost 7,000 West Virginia children are in foster care. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The DHHR estimates that in order to really take care of our kids right now, we need more psychiatrists, school nurses, social workers, healthcare facilities, and all that's estimated to cost the state more than $150 million.
There's just not enough people out there. We're overwhelmed. The whole opioid epidemic, the need for foster placements has just spiraled. You need more workers, you need more staff, there are more cases, there are more families being affected by this. We need more resources. So initially it's a huge, complex issue that's going to require a lot of money that West Virginia as a state probably doesn't have.
Foster parents today are desperately needed, but with such a strained state system, parents have to be prepared for what they're getting into. David Johnson is a United Methodist pastor. He and his wife are foster parents in Southern West Virginia. He says kids are coming into the system with a lot of trauma.
And that's a lot to deal with as foster parents, and to try to help kids walk through that at the same time navigating a really overburdened system is difficult. The daily struggles of being a parent, which are hard to begin with, and then you add behaviors born of trauma on top of that, and then having to get them to therapists, possibly visits with their biological parents, getting to court, multidisciplinary team meetings. I mean, the amount of time it takes can be difficult.
Johnston says foster parents need support from their communities and workplace flexibility in order to properly be present for their kids.
Getting out of our silos, I think, is important to doing this work, that it's going to take a coordinated effort between child services, between law enforcement, the courts, churches and other religious communities and everyday people. I think trying to reach out to employers as part of this to help them understand a role they can play, both in giving people in recovery jobs as well as being compassionate towards workers who are dealing with kids in foster care or kids who are navigating behavioral difficulties born of trauma.
Experts across disciplines, healthcare, schools, court, all agree that the landscape of their workplaces has changed drastically in the last 20 years. People throughout the region who work with children all report increases of traumatizing childhood experiences, which could have devastating impacts on the health and well-being of these kids, as well as the future of the state.
We've got to find a way to put them on a different path in life. And if we do not do that, they're going to repeat history. It's going to be generational.
Jessica Watt is a school counselor at Madison Elementary in Ohio County. She was at a roundtable series focused on the state's child welfare crisis this fall. Watt spoke about the new normal she's experiencing at her elementary school, where children are routinely recounting violent acts at home as if they are ordinary occurrences. Madison Elementary has since embraced trauma-informed practices, where teachers and staff have all learned to recognize and respond to traumatized children. And all school employees work together to try to provide a consistent, safe, and compassionate environment.
This, to me, is more, it's life or death for these children. And so if we don't start addressing these kinds of things, we're not going to have any little people left to teach to read and write anymore. So to me, it's more important than that. And I'm fortunate to be in a building where I have a principal who gets that.
Healthcare practitioners and mental health experts from across the state are calling not just for schools, but workplaces, hospitals, recreational spaces, all institutions in the state to become trauma-informed. And this is an idea that's actually starting to take off in some places in the state. For the legislature today, I'm Glennis Board.
Continuing our in-depth look at West Virginia's foster care system. In last night's episode of the Legislature Today, host Suzanne Higgins spoke with House Majority Leader Amy Summers and Deputy Secretary of State, West Virginia Department of Health and Human Services, Jeremiah Samples, about how lawmakers intend to combat the foster care crisis this session. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
More than 6,000 children have been removed from their homes, the highest in the country, and a staggering number of Child Protective Services referrals. 28,000 and 18,000 are accepted. Just tell us broadly the ravages of the opioid epidemic, the drug epidemic, in terms of the child welfare.
Well, thank you for having me here today. The situation is actually even worse than what you outlined. We have over 7,200 children in state custody. That's a 67% increase since 2013. Most of this is driven by the drug crisis. Approximately 85% of all abuse neglect cases have drug use in the home. And over 50%, about 53% of all children removed from the home, substance abuse is the number one reason for that, or the primary reason for that.
And let me ask Delegate Summers, before we get into specific things that you're looking at here at the legislature, you are a registered nurse, and can you talk briefly about what trauma exposure, how this puts them on a road to these children? They're at risk for any number of conditions and health and emotional concerns.
Yes, they are. And in the emergency department where I work, and also in past experiences I've had as a medical examiner, we see these things playing out in society that are so sad for our children. The most vulnerable people in our population that we have to take care of. And that's what we're trying to do here in the legislature, is what things can we do to enhance the foster care system, to get more people to be involved in that system, and continue to make it safe. And that's what we're looking at this week in a foster care bill.
And just broadly, what are those components? What do you hope to get out in a bill?
Many of us have held foster care forums in our hometowns, and we've been listening to different people that participate. The foster care parents, the DHHR, the CPS workers, part of the DHHR. What can we do to make it easier but still safe for people to be foster parents? Because we need more parents. We need everybody in West Virginia to step up and help these kids, because we're in an absolute crisis.
Mr. Samples, the secretary has come before the legislature saying to hire and place the needed mental health workers in our school system would take $100 million. What I mean, what do you think is realistic? What are you asking this legislature for?
The Justice Administration has invested more in child welfare than any administration in state history. And just to give context to those numbers, in 2017, we had approximately $243 million in expenditure for child welfare. In 2020, the coming fiscal year, we anticipate $350 million in expenditures. And so the governor has invested the state's resources, and we have worked very closely with the legislature, the judicial branch, and several stakeholders to really tackle this issue from a number of different angles. To build off what the majority leader had stated, this is going to take every West Virginian. It's not a DHHR crisis. It's not a crisis of one community or another. This is a state crisis, and our most valuable resource, our children, they're suffering traumas that really, folks, I think it's hard for people to comprehend.
Are you getting an additional appropriation to hire more mental health workers in your schools, in our schools?
We have put in funding to expand, a funding request to the legislature to expand crisis services for children, to expand school-based health services, also to expand wraparound services. It's not enough to react to a crisis after it's happened. We need to be able to get upstream and try to save these families, the families that can be saved, so that these children never have to be removed from the home in the first place.
And additional staffing, there's just not enough people to provide the services.
This past year, DHHR did add an additional 50 child protective service workers across the state. We also increased salaries in conjunction with the legislature for CPS workers. On top of the governor's 5% last year for state employees, we added 2%. And in this year's budget, we have added, on top of the governor's 5%, an additional 3%. And so we are looking at various strategies to increase the workforce, but also to ensure that these folks that are really serving the most vulnerable people in society are adequately and appropriately compensated.
Again, that was Legislature Today host Suzanne Higgins speaking with House Majority Leader Delegate Amy Summers and Deputy Secretary of State Department of Health and Human Services Jeremiah Samples. To hear the full interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.